what creativity exists in your family? You say your dad's listening to these records, but are there musicians in the family?
Yeah, so last name's Flory Barnes. On the Flory side, from my mom's side, my grandfather was born in 1898. I got to see him alive. He lived to be 91 or 92. He was from Lake Charles, Louisiana. He and his brother went up to New Orleans. I think they played, because they're around that area, so they're playing like late rag, early jazz improvisations and that kind of vibe on the pianos. So they were like kind of doing that thing. And then they moved to L.A., and that's where he met my grandmother. And I have early memories of him playing piano, like when I was sitting under the piano when I was three, and it just sounded like this wash of... Sometimes I think it sounds like Ravel. Sometimes I think it sounds like
Joplin.
Yeah, exactly. And I hear all of that. And then two of his daughters, two of my aunts, were a classical pianist and did some concert work with L.A. Phil. And then another aunt was a singer, classical singer. And then my mom and dad, they always had a good sense of music. Like, my mom could really sing and sang wonderful melodies. And then my dad always was playing this kind of soul R&B music around the house. And so all that stuff was there. And then my grandmother, my father's mother, she sang in the church. And I had two kind of church experiences. My grandfather was a pastor on my dad's side. And so I had the AME gospel hymnal, you know, soulful church. And then I also had my mom's Catholic experience as going to St. Edward's and then hearing the organ music. And both of those impacting me really deeply. So I always have this strong connection. And then I guess my aunt and my cousin and my uncle passed recently, Curtis Barnes, they strong visual arts. And so it's creativity has definitely been something in the family on both sides.
When I see you as a kid in the church, you know, either in the black church or in the Catholic church, and having this experience as music, specifically as a soundtrack for a spiritual experience, mm-hmm. I can see how that would impact you and have an effect where you're like, I have to recreate this, but more in a jazz way,
mm-hmm.
because of the way, sort of like Miles, he's always trying to recreate the first experience in 1944 of hearing Charlie Parker, and always falling short of that, which is really interesting. So I see a similar kind of experience. You're nodding your head.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, I, at the core, you know, people have a lot of like definitions of what jazz is, and I have always looked at it as, you know, Wayne Shorter put it, just means, and who's one of my deepest influences, is just means freedom of expression. I'm equally influenced by the time of the black church and the Catholic churches as I am being in the symphony orchestra and being in a hip-hop band at the same time, and having these sort of like aspects of like beat and groove and rhythm and soul and celebration with a kind of lushness and lyricism and grand, something being grand and something being high, and mixing those two. It's always been an aim, and it's always been an intention of definitely the music that I write, but also even the bands and things I'm a part of, for sure.
Yeah, which leads into your experience at Garfield, being in a hip-hop group, being in the symphony orchestra. Clarence Acox, was he?
It was Marcus Sudakawa. You know, it's funny, my sophomore year, right before my sophomore year started, like, I'd only been playing bass for 2 years, just barely 2 years, and I had no formal lessons. Like, so I was playing electric bass in my garage, and I met another guy who played guitar, and he was in the hip-hop band with me throughout high school. But he was one of the first people I played music with. So I had this sense, and I was playing along to, like, hip-hop tracks. I was playing along to, like, the rock at the time, the sort of grunge thing that was coming out. So I was playing along to all these, like, different sounds. And then I got interested in jazz, because a lot of my friends were playing the jazz band at Washington, and then they went to Garfield, and then that was sort of the thing, the band's thing. So I tried out my sophomore year, didn't get into the Garfield Jazz Band, but I was like in the beginning orchestra, and I was taking some lessons here and there, but I always say I was bringing a kind of garage band sensibility to learning how to play bass in the orchestra. So, because I started at Cleveland High School for a semester, and they had a beginning strings program. We played Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and Canon and D, and then I transferred to Garfield. And then they combined the A orchestra and the B orchestra into one big orchestra. And then we played Shostakovich Symphony No. 5, and I was like the last of nine basses, and I just was like grabbing a hold of whatever I could hold on to. And that was my experience just throughout high school, just learning this deep and rich orchestral repertoire, and then having, you know, Sudakawa be an influence and a mentor and growing and developing just over time as I just kept playing. So it was interesting to not be in the jazz band, but I mean the orchestra program, you know, both groups were traveling, winning competitions, etc. But I really look at that experience of being in an orchestra, playing in the bass section, hearing all that music, and then also having a like this hip-hop sensibility. And I always say in between that is a thing that affects the jazz language and the thing that the jazz language affects. So playing jazz music in a certain sense is a perfect alignment of and meeting between those worlds. And so it came to me natural, very easily when I started playing music that is traditionally called jazz. It was just a very natural fit.
Yeah. When I hear that you went to Garfield and didn't play in the jazz band, I'm reminded of Michael Jordan not playing on the high school basketball team. And it's like, man, somebody's missing something here. You know?
Thanks. You know, it's a trip because, and I actually had thought about that once. I was like, because I remember playing a gig with Acox some years back with a party with like the late Hadley Kellerman. And I just was tripping out. I was like, here we are, some whatever years later, playing a gig together. And like, and doing my thing, and it's like, but there was a time where I couldn't even get into the entry level band, you know. And it's a trip.
As George W. Bush would say, "You misunderestimated me."